Greetings, everyone.
This is Jake Z. Lee.
I'm the surprise in your cereal box.
I'm great. Everybody else sucks.
Let's get dangerous.
Yes, sir, random kid I just met.
It's time to check the link.
Oh, wait, you serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list.
Hooray. People are paying attention for me.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No, burn.
What is up, you ducks? It is week 8 fantasy football rankings on All In Football with my boy Chris Meany on FTN Network. Code All In, get you 20% off. And The Athletic, I don't even know what we give out anymore. Just click on one of the links and get a discount. It's just, there's always something.
All kinds
else.
Of goodness over there. Yeah, there's always some sweet deals. Just click the link.
Yeah, the $1 a month is gone, but I mean, it's, a lot of times it's like $1 a week or $1 every other week or like whatever. Like $1 involved in there somewhere. But in early celebration of Halloween, because next week, Halloween won't be yesterday. So I already see, so like my, it's this. Do you see what's happening here? Can you tell all that? Spider-Man and Deadpool.
Yeah.
And they're roasting marshmallows over Ghost Rider's head. I'm not happy about it.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't imagine. Another A-plus shirt from you. I guess you and Lauren will be able to dress up, have a costume.
Somewhat.
On the Monday show.
I have. Do you want a sneak preview?
You have something that will maybe a little bit of a breather if you put it over your head?
Like
a little hole?
It's going to... Meany, this is a friendly show. Come on. Let's see if I can I get it like barely into the shot? There we go. There you get barely, you can kind
of
see.
A little bit of a sneak peek.
All you get. That's all you get. That's your sneak preview that you get.
Okay.
It will be tough to actually breathe through that, as always. As everything. At least I think I can see through that one. That's the difference. The other ones are like, that's the biggest problem. I'm like trying to lean into the screen because I can't see. But we're going to talk. We get ranks, like I promised. As Meany and I were just talking about before we came on the show, it might be running back needy, even with all 32 teams playing. In flex leagues, there was a varying. I was the high end of Pierre Strong at 22, and the low end was $2 across the four leagues. It was all over the place. There was like a 12 in there, like all over the map. Hey, ours is super running back needy, as you know, basically because you've been trying to pick up running backs the entire year.
Been chasing them all year. Yeah.
I know. I was chasing a little help there, but we're going to talk about, hey, you know what? Let's just talk running backs all the time. I was going to start with Will Levis because Will Levis is actually starting, not Malik Willis. Hopefully in your super flex you didn't go after Malik Willis, who will be used.
Yeah,
but
no.
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody's shocked by this. You don't draft Will Levis and then have the opportunity and say, well, we're going to turn back to Malik Willis when they pretty much, for all intents and purposes, they turned away from him last year already. I would love to see Malik Willis, like a Geno Smith, get a chance somewhere else. Just figure something out where, you know, there's an offense that's actually more designed for him instead of the Tannehill offense. But that's part of the reason why the Levis situation makes sense to me, because it's still a Tannehill offense. That's not a Malik Willis offense. Malik Willis needs a Justin Fields offense, very similar quarterbacks. He needs an Anthony Richardson offense. He needs that where he can use his escapability, he can use his legs, he can use his athleticism to extend plays, but running the Tannehill offense doesn't really do that for him. The same way as we saw when Nagy didn't change the playbook, you know, your boy Jalen Hurts when he first came in for Carson Wentz. Anyway, all being, yes, I do like Mr. Nice Guy, which your face is kind of like Halloween-y on here anyway. But anyway, I do actually think Atlanta's an interesting streaming defense. I thought they were last week as well. But for the Jerome Ford situation with the Browns, to talk about that, to circle all the way back, Jerome Ford, we still haven't got the official word. It's interesting. We haven't got the official word on Jerome Ford or Christian Watson. We're assuming both are out at least a week, maybe even two, three, four. But we're assuming as of now. And Kareem Hunt actually got banged up in that game, but he played through it. We know Kareem Hunt's going to be the lead. But I want to ask you, because before we came on the show, I was like, wow, I'm surprised you didn't go after Pierre Strong, given your needs, given what you're starting Kenneth Gainwell. And I know you're like, okay, Kenneth Gainwell can get a touchdown in a given week, but are you thumbing your nose up that much in the fact that you don't think Pierre Strong is going to be 40, 45% involved like he was when Jerome Ford left? Or do you think it's potentially the other way? And Deion Jackson actually got picked up by the Giants. I originally had him in the waiver column, so I pulled him out of the waiver column. They could still trade for D'Ernest Johnson, get him off the Jaguars. He's familiar with this offense. Do you think there's going to be another factor involved, or are you just not that enamored with Pierre Strong? Pierre, he arguably looked pretty good in the end of that game. Like, he didn't look terrible.
And he had some nice moments there for the Patriots and, you know, in the preseason. I think he's fine. I just... For me personally, I just didn't have the bucks going after certain guys, and I knew he would go for at least $20. And I got Zeke in there. You know, it's not better than Kenneth Gainwell. It's slightly better, I suppose. He's scoring a couple rushing touchdowns here and there. Back-to-back weeks with a rushing score. Zeke, let's go. Yeah, I think he's – I got him ranked in the low 30s. I think he's maybe a flex play this week. There's a couple guys that, you know, the LA guys, maybe Cam Akers. I know we'll probably talk about him. That's a guy maybe I'd consider over him as well. But not wrong to go and pick him up, even if you're not RB needy. You know, it sounds like a 1 to 2 week thing for Ford, like you said, but it could be longer. And Kareem Hunt, you mentioned banged up. Also, you know, doing some things lately, looking okay, but last year was one of his worst seasons efficiently. So it could turn into maybe a 50-50. A 60-40, I would expect Hunt to be the lead there, though. But, yeah, I mean, a flex play, you hope he catches a couple passes in the backfield.
Yeah, you hope so. I think he's at least interesting. The Seahawks have been surprisingly decent, I guess, running backs.
Yeah.
To go back, Kyron Williams actually had the 2 touchdowns in week one, but it was 15 of 52. He had 16 of 67 from Montgomery with a touchdown. 9 for 24 from your previous boy, Miles Sanders, in a touchdown. That was actually the high rushing mark for that game, as Chuba Hubbard had 1 for 2. And then 14 for 30 for Matt Breida against this Matt Breida, but Joe Mixon 12 for 38 and Dave Mercado 13 for 58. Like, they've held running games in check. I actually think it's very much like the Vikings, is that people still have the perception or assumption of what they used to be, and they still are vulnerable to the pass. But the run games, the run defenses for the Vikings and the Seahawks have both been better. They're actually middle of the pack this year.
Yeah. And, you know, teams are throwing on Seattle. And you just, I mean, the running backs you mentioned weren't fantastic, but teams are throwing on them. I mean, they've allowed this fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers, top 10 matchup for a quarterback, surprisingly.
And real quickly, that's even
last year, I liked their secondary.
Seattle, that's even with Cincinnati not doing a ton and then just facing Arizona. And so what they're like. If you go back to the first 2 or 3 weeks, I mean, the Rams tore them to shreds. The Lions tore them to shreds. Adam Thielen and DJ Chark went off. So,
oh, yeah, big time. Man, how about Adam Thielen? Are you kidding me?
We're going to talk about him.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable season from Adam Thielen. Halfway over, and he's a league winner.
Yeah, he's one of, I think, about he's five league winners you could throw out there. Maybe we have to make a list.
Your fifth or sixth wide receiver, somebody you picked at the end of the draft. Like,
I'm mad at listening to myself. Plugging him in as your wide receiver
three. I'm bummed too, man, because all those Carolina wide receivers were cheap, and you could have just did, you know, one Mingo here, one Thielen here, even a flyer on
the problem chart. Is like we had we and like our show talk about, like, we had Panthers in the conversation with the Giants, and the difference is, you know, if you would have told me one Giants wide receiver was going to get the volume that Thielen did, we probably would have been a little bit intrigued in that. The fact that just the volume's off the charts.
Yeah, it's awesome. Good for him.
You brought up the Rams, so we have no Kyron Williams. We saw Daryl Henderson last week, immediately steps in. He knows this team. Sean McVay knows him. Again, I prefaced this on Monday's show with Lauren. To be fair, like, I had him as an RB3 because Kenyon Drake is a perfect example. We've seen running backs who are familiar with offenses, who have played for offenses, who have led offenses come in and be third or uninvolved. Like Dearness Johnson, if he gets traded for it now, I mean, especially now at this point, probably not going to be involved this quickly for the Browns. But all that being said, it happened. Daryl Henderson is the lead. I saw a lot of people asking in the waiver columns and on Twitter, they're worried. They're like, oh, he got moved back to the practice squad. What are they going to do now? It's transactional. That's the NFL. When you get elevated from the practice squad, you go back to the practice squad, and then you can get signed to the roster. So, like, the reason they also let that happen is because P.J. Walker was out of practice squad options. It's kind of like baseball, sending down to triple, double A. You're out of options. So they had to sign P.J. Walker. It's transactional. It's still Daryl Henderson. But Royce Freeman did look good at times in that game. How confident are you of Daryl Henderson in week 8? Because I have Daryl Henderson. Like, here, I'll give you, like, not to go through a list, meanie, because I was saving that for something else. But I'm maybe too confident? Question mark. I have him as RB22, sandwiched between Rashad White, who finally looked good, question mark, and in front of Ramondre Stevenson, who keeps splitting with Zeke. That's where I saddled him in.
This is fair. Yeah, I'm just as aggressive as you. I you know, we alluded to this on our FTN Fantasy show on Sirius. McVay's comments were very, very telling, right? I mean, we talked about Zach Evans, and I remember just hearing you say, well, you know what? Maybe they just don't like this guy that much, right? Because it was Kyren, and then it was Ronnie Rivers, and then all of a sudden these things, you know, signing Gaskin and then activating not just Daryl Henderson, but Royce Freeman as well. And I thought he did a lot of things just like McVay said in the presser. And it was a little bit later on in the week that we heard this. And then the report surfaced Saturday night. I know I picked him up at like 2:30 in the morning in a couple leagues. He was just kind of hanging around. I'm like, yeah, I'll take a flyer on this guy. Not feeling like I would start him, but let's just see what happens here. And what McVay said is, you know, former guy, knows the playbook, picked up a bunch of things and walkthrough, didn't have to really like hammer a bunch of details like they would have to do with Myles Gaskin. You know what I mean? Like, this is our offense. This is what we like to do. Very similar from when Daryl Henderson was there a couple weeks ago. So I do think that Freeman will continue to be involved because you're right. He did look good. But this, mm-hmm. I would give the benefit of the doubt to Daryl Henderson is like 60% of the snaps at least. Maybe majority of the goal line work, some third down situations as well. He looked strong. And I know it's a matchup against the Cowboys, but this Rams team is, they can score some points. And we can see another day where it's like 15 for 50, 60, a couple catches, and maybe he finds the end zone for you. And that would be not a low-end RB2 where you have him. That would be kind of like towards the high-end RB2. So I think he has that ceiling.
So would you do the same as me? It was the first game back, and he didn't look like he was still ailing, but there was a lot of split going to A.J. Dillon's way. Would you start Daryl Henderson over Aaron Jones?
I would really strongly consider it. I need to see Aaron Jones this week practice in full. I mean, I don't have any Jones, but if I was a Jones owner, I would be pulling my hair right now with this guy because it was week one was awesome. The next couple weeks he's hurt. Then the surprise and active on Monday night. And then you're right in what is the best possible matchup that we've seen all season with the Broncos. They haven't been able to stop anybody on the ground or through the air. And it was a split. So it's pretty close to me. I think you agree that Aaron Jones has the higher ceiling.
Oh, of course.
But I don't really like the Packers this week either against the Vikings. Like you said, they've been surprisingly decent. Good job last week, man. Good for Kirk Cousins on primetime. Getting a W against the Niners.
Well, speaking of the former Rams player, you already brought his name up, is Cam Akers. What are we doing now with Alexander Mattison? Because Alexander Mattison came out same as before, came out as the lead, was struggling a little bit. Cam Akers comes in, gets the big run, starts looking good. And so much so that the second half flipped. It was actually more Cam Akers. Now, the numbers don't look, if you're just looking at the box score, you're like, yeah, Cam Akers, whatever. But yeah, the usage was the concern. Cam Akers was, for all intents and purposes, the lead in the second half of the game. Now, I still have Alexander Mattison in front of him, but I have I'll run straight through my ranks on this show. Like, yeah. I have Sanders and Chuba Hubbard back-to-back, which we're going to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, me too. I don't know what to do there.
Gus Edwards, Alexander Mattison, Brian Robinson Jr., which we're going to talk about, Najee Harris, yeah, Zach Moss, Jalen Warren, Dane Mercado, Strong, and Akers. I have Akers at 37, only 7 spots behind Alexander Mattison.
Yeah, I have them a little bit tighter. I guess I have Cam Akers just up a touch in this range. Like I think I would play him over Jalen Warren, Pierre Strong, DeMarcado. It's just one game, but I think we're starting to see a little bit of a trend, right? This is Mattison who struggled at the start of the season.
I thought you were going to talk about DeMarcado because you brought up his name.
No,
just one game. Well, hold on.
It's two games, I guess. Really?
No. Well, and DeMarcado, the only person that had a higher running back touch percentage than DeMarcado last week was Kenneth Walker.
Yeah.
The only 94% of now he's facing the Ravens, which is why he's all the way down at 35 because I don't want to play anybody.
No.
I'd play Christian McCaffrey against the Ravens, and that might be about it.
Oh, man. The Ravens, I mean, they just smacked Detroit in the mouth. And this is a team that's just been awesome against quarterbacks and backs and tight ends. Just when they dial up pressure, there's no chance. Baltimore, oh, man. They looked really good. I agree with the DeMarcado because the best case is they catch a couple passes. I don't think Arizona's going to be able to move the ball against them. Back to Akers, though, because Mattison, he wasn't efficient, right? We're talking about him as a buy low. We were wondering, is this a buy low candidate? At least he's getting all these opportunities, but he wasn't taking care of the ball. He had all these crazy turnovers. And they acquire Cam Akers, and then you have the relationship, I suppose, with Kevin O'Connell being with McVay and the Rams, and I'm sure those talks happen. He must have thought, even though the the cost to get him was extremely minimal, right? We joked about that. But there is an opportunity for him, and we've seen it. Not only did he play in the second half, he closed out the game, man. And that's important to me. I like to see that. Madison, maybe they just don't trust him to take care of the ball. And what was a one-score game, they gave the ball to Cam Akers. He closed out that game. He caught a pass for 30 yards. Did he look good doing as well? I think this is a 50-50 thing now, and it's going to ride the hot hand this week. It's going to be frustrating, yeah.
So
I don't even know who the goal line back would be.
Something we talked about before, we talked back with the Packers and Raiders, and that was a fun situation we talked about with the over and both these paces of these teams, and the Packers continue to be a lower pace.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, Chris Meany, the Vikings are also the only team in the NFL without a rushing touchdown. The only
wow.
one.
Wow. Yeah,
still don't have a rushing touchdown.
Madison's got a couple receiving ones, I guess, then.
Bengals, Broncos, Buccaneers, and Texans all have just one. They're also, the Vikings, are one of seven teams with only one game hitting the over. So, just some interesting Vikings.
I like those little nuggets.
Little nuggets. By the way, Jordan loved to talk about it on the flip side of how bad this was, because we talked about the worry for him on Monday, and I even went deeper on this. After week one, because week one was bananas, and everybody was going nuts. He is 31st in yards per attempt, 25th in yards per completion, and if you take it from week three, because week two was kind of decent, not great. He's 34th in touchdown interception rate. 34, as in 32, two more dudes. He's 34th in touchdown interception ratio at 0.6, and he's 31st in EPA for dropback.
A couple people were asking me yesterday, like, where to rank the Packers on Mean Streets, and should they fire Matt LaFleur? And it's like, you know, it's a young offense. It's basically Jordan Love's first season in the NFL, and Watson's second year, and Dubs and Reed and Musgrave. But Jordan Love doesn't look good. And it's funny to talk about those numbers, which I appreciate more so than QBR numbers, where after week two, he had like a record-setting QBR. And then I look, I'm like, he's got a 56% completion rate. What are we talking
about? All the
about
touchdowns
here?
Were skewing everything. I kept saying that. We kept talking about it there at the time. It was the touchdown rate was Matt Ryan 2016. It was absurd.
And he was underthrowing. I thought he underthrew Christian Watson so many times against the Raiders.
Let me ask you this, Meany.
And now Watson's hurt, so it's not going to get better.
If you had to, real NFL, would you rather have Jordan Love or Daniel Jones as your quarterback?
I'd rather have Daniel Jones has shown me a lot. I have more confidence.
Hold on. Would you rather have Jordan Love or Daniel Jones with this $40 million contract?
Okay, yeah. I'd take Jordan Love and try to coach him up under that price. Hey, Tyrod Taylor, good for him, man. A couple good games. I thought he did some really good things against the Bills. And, you know, Barkley looked good. He looked like the old Barkley last week as well. I don't think that there's quarterback controversy, but just because they paid him. But if Daniel Jones wasn't paid, like if this was the year Daniel Jones was on his contract year, there could be some talk in New York about Taylor.
Hey, you know what? Given Barkley the long term, it would have probably been 3 years, but long term, I put that in quotes, contract and franchising Daniel Jones. Oh, what a surprise. That was the right call.
It's clearly the heartbeat of the offense. Yeah. We don't need to get fired up here on a Wednesday, but
no, we don't.
This is something you've been talking about for a while.
Let's talk Jonathan Taylor and Zach Moss, because definitively said Jonathan Taylor is the better play. But interestingly enough, I was still wrong at the same time as being right, because the percentage didn't really go up. He was 50% his second game back, and it jumped up to a massive 53% of the running back touches. So I asked you, Chris Meany, we know Jonathan Taylor's playable. We know Jonathan Taylor's a top 20 running back, because even at 55%, he's still going to be a top 20 running back. But he's not an RB1, in my opinion, because of that. And the second part is, how playable does Zach Moss continue to be?
And if you're going to get 18 carries, like, I was shocked that they both had 18 carries. I never would have imagined. What a wild game that was. I didn't think we'd see a lot of points. It was one of the games of the year. Both of them almost scored 40.
Beowulf.
Gardner Minshew.
He's back.
Gardner Minshew, two rushing touchdowns. He had more rushing touchdowns than Bijan Robinson had touches. It's just what a weird week seven. What a weird week seven, man. But against the Saints, I know we both like this Saints defense. You know, ETN wasn't super efficient last week playing them, but he did have a couple rushing touchdowns. I think that this is going to be, it's kind of telling now, isn't it? Minshew's going to rely on both of these guys. Like, the Indy is going to run the ball with both of them. Maybe a flex. Like, I'd like him a little bit more than Cam Akers and Pierre Strong and some of the other guys. Or Mercado.
I get that. Do you like him more than Alexander Mattison? Do you like him more than both Pittsburgh backs? Because Jalen Warren, be damned, 78% of the touches for Najee Harris coming. They both scored a
touchdown.
Tomlin
just loves his guy, and he's sticking to his guy. It's clear.
How many times have we sat here and said this? Like, you can want Jalen Warren to happen, and maybe it finally does. And we still get, like we said, 10% chance or whatever, like throughout the note. There's a slim chance it happens. It's slim that it came out of the bye. And that's why you took the chance to make sure Jalen Warren was rostered. Wasn't saying definitely was going to happen because what do we say? You just said it, Meanie. Tiger doesn't change the stripes or whatever the saying is. Like that comes.
Yeah.
Like Mike Tomlin's a bell cow guy. He loves this trust guy. One guy.
And it's been several games in a row now where Jalen Warren has been more efficient. Even on what did he have? 6 carries. He was still more efficient with those 6 carries. He had that nice. He had that nice touchdown, which was roughly a 20-yard run, just flirting in near the red zone. But Harris had a touchdown as well. He was the goal line back there. He got that rushing attempt. It's his guy. It's not pretty. I keep ranking Najee Harris as basically a flex running back with Jalen Warren just behind him. And one thing I will say about Warren is that
Moss is sandwiched in between them.
Yeah, Moss.
Harris, Moss, Warren.
With kind of disrespected, I guess, because Moss did 33-14.
Is he, though? It's the Saints also. It's part of the reason.
Right.
Like
Houston, I would put
him at like 26, 7, somewhere around there.
18 for 57 is nothing. Like, you like the efficiency.
He still needs a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a solid floor, but the ceiling's limited without the touchdown, and I think that's the point.
And one thing I just want to add about Warren, maybe this is just one game, but having Deontay Johnson back, I mean, this was Warren. We saw 6 targets roughly in every game, couple catches, and it was just, I believe he had one catch. Maybe he's just not going to get those dump offs that he got when
that over under. That was the first time this entire year I actually chose the under on Warren receiving.
Oh, nice call. Good call.
Because of what you just said. It was the option of being there. Just briefly to talk about wide receivers. By the way, Pat Mayo said this to me on Monday, and I completely agreed with him. George Pickens with Deontay Johnson is like a top 15 wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big Pickens guy. I like Deontay too, but I'm a huge Pickens guy. He needs to have somebody else on the field with him. We've had these conversations before when Juju. Like, Juju had all that soft coverage when Antonio Brown was on the field. Like, the attention's really going to be on both guys.
And but this offense, Calvin Ridley sucks without Zay Jones. He can't handle double coverage.
You've been saying that since week
Christian
2.
Kirk
and you're
the number one.
Like, you need these guys on the field, man. It's, you think, like,
they're upset.
In a vacuum, maybe, like, these wide receivers will get a bunch of... Oh, they're banging you. I mean, these wide receivers
they're
get
banging me.
Targets.
Come on, man.
Neighbors are banging. What time is it over there? Good for them. Anyways,
Everybody want to donate to the Jake Seeley Get a House Fund so you don't have like the neighbors? Actually, complete sidebar. Holy hell! Still 8.5% for mortgages? What the flipping? I'd be out of here by now. Anyway, sorry. I checked the other day, and I'm like, what the hell is happening? Can we get this back down to a reasonable number? But anyway, I don't know what's going next. Oh, frustrating situation. My team, quote unquote, it's not my team, but in this area, despite we're 3 hours away from them, it's still this area. The Commanders. Ooh, Brian Robinson. This has been going. Brian Robinson is getting pulled off the field for Chris Rodriguez, which I'll tell you what it's about. Completely understand what it's about. That offensive line is trash. That offensive line is you and me trying to block NFL players. Yeah. The record-setting pace of 97 sacks that everybody's seen by now is absurd. Sam Howell against your Eagles. I actually like Sam Howell as a streaming option still because your Eagles are exploitable in the past, especially against the slot and tight ends. Logan Thomas, Curtis Samuel, even Terry McLaurin in the slot. They can do some work. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I actually fear for Sam Howell's life this week. Like, legitimately might not even have time to throw the ball, even though it's a good matchup passing-wise. Because this, Chris Rodriguez is what I'm talking about, power between the tackles. And maybe that's what they're trying to mix in, is like, you know what, this offensive line is that bad. Let's get somebody with a little bit more thump. And Brian Robinson has his own, but I don't think this means Brian Robinson's losing his job. I just think that's why Chris Rodriguez got mixed in. But it's concerning enough that Brian Robinson's not even top 20 anymore.
No, Yeah, you hope that's an outlier game and they can figure this out on the offensive line, but we've seen enough football now. We're into week eight to you talk about the record. I mean, 6, 4, 9, 5, 5, 5, 6. Those are the sacks. At least 4 in every game and 5, you know, in every single game now since week 2.
Except for one. Yeah.
Yeah, except for that one, and the Eagles got to him 5. He did have 41 pass attempts. He played pretty good. He had a 7% completion rate in that game. Just tossed the one touchdown, had 40 yards on the ground, scrambling, right? Kind of just running for his life, and I think that will continue as well. Washington's played Philadelphia really well over the past couple of years, and the way they've done that is to run the ball with, you know, Brian Robinson to kind of slow the pace down, get into third and manageable situations.
I think the pass happiness that they've been on is kind of hurting them, especially when you can't block it. Ten of me couldn't block Aaron Donald. Are you kidding me? It'd be like the old WWE days where Big Show and all the dudes like get on top of him and then he just goes, and everybody flies off. Like that'd basically be me trying to like, or old, if anybody watches anime, Naruto, like with all my clones on top and just get all kicked off and explode and like they're gone. Yeah, that's exactly what would happen.
They're going to have to figure some sort of get the ball out quick, have another, I don't know, the tight end.
WWE and anime, how did I find a wife? Goodness. Like,
I did
my job is fantasy sports. I watched anime, watched wrestling. Like, I just, the fact that I'm married, anybody can find somebody. There you go.
That's all you need to know. If you take anything away from this show, it's that anybody can find
you. All have hope. It just might take you 15 years like it took me, but it'll happen. Trust
nice
me, it'll happen.
There. Yeah. It's all
speaking of things happening, how about this?
What is happening?
People are coming for me on this one, and I'm just saying, look, I get it, and I don't disagree that I prefer the player, Dameon Pierce, but going into the bye and seeing it was 50-50 on the nose split before they hit the bye, and we have D'Amico Ryans come out, and he basically is calling him nicknames. Why do I keep forgetting Singletary's nickname that he has for him? But anyway, it comes out, and he says, we like both of them. We got to get him some more involvement, blah, blah, blah. I have them similar to the situation with the Vikings. I have them ranked pretty close. The Carolina Panthers, too, because Miles Sanders is supposed to be back. We might as well loop them into this conversation. But Chuba Hubbard looked good. And if you told me the two people in who's more involved in the passing game, Chuba Hubbard was starting to get more involved as Miles Sanders got banged up. Like, I think this is the same situation. Could Dameon Pierce go back to 100% of the touches? Sure, but even 100% of the touches was still only a mid-low RB2.
Yeah, and even Singletary at the start of the season,
thank you,
7-9.
Fox. Motor. His nickname is Motor.
Motor?
Yeah,
okay.
For Devin Singletary. So continue.
Yeah, even in the start of the year, there's just that one donut from him on Atlanta. I know he didn't do anything at the start of the season, but getting 7 carries and through the first four games is decent, right? And then having, not only was it split, he played more snaps. I think that was like roughly 38% for Dameon Pierce. So Singletary, it was flipped for the first time, and we wondered if that was going to be the outlier game or not. But I still think I have Pierce ranked ahead of him, but... Yeah, looping in both of these backfields, I got them both as like flex guys. In this Cam Akers,
so here's how I go. I'll give you this.
I like them more than Cam Akers.
Like them both more.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually have Cam Akers.
The matchup.
Okay, I was gonna say I have Cam Akers currently one spot in front of Singletary, but I mean they're back to back, so
yeah.
Singletary, I go
probably. Nutshell, I probably would go Cam Akers over Singletary.
So I go your boy Javonte Williams, even against Kansas City. Then I go Miles Sanders, Chuba Hubbard back.
Training goes off from.
So Sanders, then Chuba. It's against Houston, so hopefully Sanders gets more run. And then I go Gus Edwards against Arizona. Honestly, might be too low, but he still needs a touchdown. I'm not banking on 80% of his career receiving yards happening in the game ever again.
70-yard grab. Who was like, wait, what is Gus Edwards? Come on. Yeah. Good for
him. And then down from there, there's where Madison is. Brian Robinson's down by 31. He's also facing the Philadelphia Eagles. By the way, yes, Phillies. I'm so happy. I got my World Series pick. I should have bet that. Man.
Man.
You can look back. I retweeted it. October 12th, I called it out. I was like, we're done. Who got knocked out that day? It wasn't the Astros. We knocked out the Dodgers that day because that was when the Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers. I was like, yes, can now we get Diamondbacks Rangers so we don't have to deal with the Braves or the Phillies or the Astros?
It's cool.
Get some fresh
upset.
Yeah, but you know what everybody said? Nobody's watching the World Series now. I'll watch it. I'll watch the hell out of it.
Yeah, me too. And I'll enjoy it. I'm sick of the Astros and the Dodgers and those teams. I couldn't agree more. And the fact that it's just two teams that lost 100 games a couple years ago, 151 Arizona to start the season to win the World Series.
This is the first time since Schilling and Johnson that they're in the World Series, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I saw something that, I mean, they won that year. And then the Texas has yet to win a couple losses, but yeah, it should be good, man. I like
to be rooting for Texas. I like to see teams that have never won before. Also, I think it would be hilarious that Scherzer continues to suck and there is no Jacob DeGrom and they still win the World Series. Like, it would just be
hilarious. Right. Like, just imagine the squad with DeGrom. Yeah. Which is pretty scary to think about, but the offense is good. It should be fun. It should be good. But yeah, back to these backs.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. This is obviously a situation you'd like to avoid if you can. I'm gonna lean Pierce over Singletary. I think Singletary may be a flex. I gotta think that Pierce is the goal line back, and I actually like Houston this week to win the football game. And then Carolina, I'm a little bit unsure of. Miles Sanders was playing really good to start the season, but then the couple of those injuries have just seemed to slow him down over the past couple of seasons. And you're right, Chuba looked pretty good. So that's one that I actually believe could be more 50-50, more like ride the hot hand. Don't know who the goal line back would be there. I would say Miles, and don't know with confidence who the third down back would be, because it was Miles early, but Chuba over the past couple weeks he's done something good too. And if I'm projecting the game, I'm thinking that they're going to be passing in the second half.
Who, Carolina?
Yeah.
Even against Houston?
Yeah, I think Houston's going to beat them by like a touchdown or something. 7 to 10.
So interesting. I'll pull this up. What did I have? I have something on the Panthers.
Something about the Texans, man, and Stroud. It'll be fun, right? Stroud and Young. It should be a good one.
So where is the Panthers game? Okay, so the Panthers, by the way, most to the point for the Texans, Panthers defense most favorable rush EPA. It's a huge margin, too, for anybody out there for EPA. So negative means the defense is favorable. And for one thing, this isn't talking down. And like legitimately, somebody asked me this question. It's like, so if it's a negative EPA, does that mean they should just punt every single play? No. EPA means the likelihood of either side scoring. So a negative EPA actually means there's more likelihood that the defense team, their team, is most likely to be the next one to score. Positive means yours is the night. So to give you an idea, most favorable rush EPA, which means they continue to let the other team likely score, negative 31. The next closest, the Raiders, is negative 10. That's how bad the Panthers' run defense has been this year. That is absurd. Yeah. Like, you don't see a gap like that. That's an absurd number, which, not surprisingly, you mentioned the Panthers. Most passes per game, 43.3. Commanders are second at 42.3.
Yeah, and Bryce, the past couple of games I've really noticed from Bryce is, just an uptick. If you look at the game log, you're seeing more pass attempts from him. And part of that, of course, is they're playing from behind. They got blown out by Detroit a couple weeks ago, and then I think it was their last game maybe against Seahawks. But, yeah, this is a team that can't stop the run, and that's why I think maybe Pierce may just be a buy low candidate. And, if you can get him as your RB2, I know Singletary, motor, this and that, but I like Pierce more as a running back, and I think I could say with confidence that he would be the goal line back. Watch Singletary get a couple rushing touchdowns. That's just not the way he was used even in Buffalo, right? Like, I think Pierce is more of a short yardage back and more explosive, and I'm gonna lean with him of the best of the four that we're talking about in this ugly game.
So there was a comment in there. Jace Horn might be back. Yeah. We don't know. He's eligible, but we have to see. Like, they haven't said anything yet. And before we get out to the running backs and over to the wide receivers, last one, Roschon Johnson, assuming he gets activated because the concussion situation. And I know a lot of people are like, has this happened before? This actually has happened before. We've had players. I mean, there's also a lot of times it usually ends up being a player that's had concussions in the past. I don't know. Maybe Roschon Johnson had one in college. I don't know about. But point B, it's not totally worrisome. It wouldn't be the first time somebody didn't return in 1 week. And I know it was over 1 week because of Thursday Night Football. But point being, if he comes back, my stance is I'm still playing Deonta Foreman in front of him. Deonta Foreman, you can't ignore what he's done replacing both running backs. And I actually have a concern that Roschon Johnson is nothing more than what he was with Khalil Herbert. That means just 30%.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. A little bit bummed. Oh, yeah, I heard that. It was nice.
That's Nando. That's my boss and friend, so he rings through. So
you should get him on the mic. Get him on the camera. It's like old school.
Oh, you want to hear what he says? Nando, we're live on the air with Chris Meaney, so do you want to say anything to Chris Meaney? I got to go back to the show. Did you hear the Jakey Jakey? You're actually live on All in Football with everybody watching right now, just so you know.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay, I'll call you back. Hello, cameo. What do you think about Roschon Johnson in his first game back? Garbage. There you go, everybody. Nando Fino says he's garbage. I'll call you back.
Oh, man. Bye. I love Nando, man. Nando's the best human in the world. You guys are you're both two of my faves. I couldn't agree more about Roschon, and I wish that it wasn't the case. Like, I'm happy for Deontay Foreman. I mean, you can go back into when Derrick Henry got hurt, coming off the Achilles injury. Like, there were just the path that he has had in the NFL and filling in perfectly, I thought, when Henry went down a couple years ago. And then CMC was traded. And now here again, the afterthought, the third man in this backfield, inactive for a couple weeks, then comes in and looks good. If he didn't look great last week, then I would say maybe this is a 50-50 benefit to Roschon Johnson. But it's back-to-back weeks of him looking really good. And I got to give him the benefit of the doubt, too. So Roschon is just he's available out there. I still think he's a good stash. Who knows if Herbert's ready to go here in a couple weeks? It could change in a couple weeks where Roschon is getting a little bit more run. But this week in particular, Foreman for me, and I think he's a top 20 back.
I'm going to be curious to see if Foreman peters off again. Like, they remember that run with the Texans where it's like, ooh, he still has something left. And then he kind of like teetered off again. I wonder if, like, is this the Achilles thing? I joked about it earlier in the season with Cam Akers. It's like, is the Achilles, like, you're not done career-wise, but you only get a few weeks, and then the Achilles is just kind of saps you again?
Yeah, mate.
Done again.
He's never.
He's had bursts.
He's had stretches of, like, being a bell cow back, but, you know, there's only a handful of people that can handle that kind of workload in the NFL.
I mean, because you go back, I'm looking at it right now, 2022, when he had 118, 118, 130, 113. And then at the end of the season, it was 35, 68. He has a 10 for 9 against Pittsburgh mixed in there. But then the year before, he had 109, 108, 132, sandwiched by 29, 30, 17, 66, 21 for 69 against Houston in 2021. So there you
go.
Like,
he was awesome. And the matchup is fine. You know, a lot of people, like, I know our NFL betting model really likes the Chargers to route the Bears, but the Chargers don't route anybody, man. Like, they find a way to give up yards. They can't stop anyone. Even without Fields, so, I think that the Bears will probably be able to move
first,
the ball.
I'll let you answer the question. Our good friend Jay is asking Pierce or Foreman this week. I go Foreman, even if Roschon's back.
I would go Foreman, too.
So, and then Adam Lee says Foreman is old. He's only 27. Foreman just feels like he's been around for 15 years.
It really, yeah, Adam, I would, off the top of my head, I'd be like, yeah, he's kind of old. He has been around for a while, but it does feel like a long time ago since you and I were talking about him, like his draft profile when he was drafted by the Texans, right? And he blew out his Achilles, and I think that was in the preseason. He may have done something like that.
Okay. Let's talk some wide receivers, because I promise. Yeah. And we do, like, I know there's not as much to talk about. Vikings, KJ Osborne. It's been pretty quiet. He's been like half Josh Palmer now stepping in as the two. We saw a little bit of Brandon Powell. KJ Osborne, I got some people asking, would you drop him for a flyer? Would you drop him for like a Marvin Mims in case Jerry Jeudy gets traded? Would you drop him to Jalen Hyatt? So I like, it's tough to say, like, would you drop a starter? But it doesn't seem like there's a hell of a lot there for KJ Osborne.
No, you're right. And what a great game from Madison. That was really cool to see. And I loved seeing him come back in that game too after leaving for a little bit.
I would say my home league, that's how bad things have been.
Really? Oh, man.
I got another big fat zero. Keonta Ingram was forced to use in my lineup. I could have just left the spot empty and not even started him.
I really, in the FTN league, I lost by 2 points. I had Addison on the bench. I played Amari Cooper over him. What am I thinking? Amari Cooper. I'm just so finished with that guy.
So would you pay Addison over Amari Cooper at this point?
Yeah, I've already done it. I'm not even going to overthink it. I've already set my
lineup.
Okay,
answer this question, and then I have it. Hold on. No, I have answer this question, and then I have a Jordan Addison versus. So stick on Osborne, and then I want to come back to Addison.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say about Osborne is, yeah, if he's your fourth, your fifth, your sixth wide receiver, you just picked him up and you're not playing him, I would trade him in for a Mims if Judy's traded this week. A Hyatt, which you talked about last week. Again, another boomer bust game, but what was he, second on the team in targets and catches and
I'd
yards?
I'd trade him in for Tank Dell.
Waller.
A lot of people dropped Tank Dell.
I wanted to bring him up too. Good call, right? He had the concussion, the bye week. His ownership is, I mean, I don't know what it is today, but 33% before the waivers ran.
Would you drop KJ Osborne for Jaden Reed?
I don't know if I do that one. I know that there's no Watson potentially, and there was no Watson at the start of the season, but there just wasn't enough volume for Jaden Reed. He had some decent moments, but I'll lean with Kirk Cousins in the offense in Minnesota. It's pass happy, and he is going to be the third, even though he's playing more snaps than Addison. Addison and Hockenson are the one and the two there. I'll just lean with KJ, but I think it's right to bring those guys up. And, you know, a Rashee Rice, I would get rid of KJ Osborne for Rashee Rice. Probably not Juwan Jennings, because that's a short term thing, but I'd be shooting for some upside in some of these rookies. maybe even Michael Wilson, as we potentially could see an uptick for him.
Just
in
not this week.
Have to. No, it's not this week.
Kyler Murray could come back, but you do not. Baltimore Ravens, do not start players against the Baltimore Ravens.
Absolutely not.
Outside of your studs.
Even Hollywood, I would try to find somebody else besides Hollywood this week.
Well, so let's get back to Addison, because I'm coming for you, Chris Meany, because I'm coming for one of your players. But first, before we get to one of your players, Jordan Addison over Jaylen Waddle.
I don't know. I don't know. Yes. It's really close. I think Miami bounces back against New England, scores a bunch of points.
But what has Jaylen Waddle done?
Yeah, not much. I mean, what was he last week? 6 for 60 or something. He had a couple touchdowns. He had back-to-back touchdowns there, 2 of the last 3 weeks. It's close. I don't know.
Do you know how many times he's finished top 20?
Oh, probably only once.
Twice, maybe. And once was during the 16 bye week.
The two touchdown games, obviously, because he hasn't...
Yep.
He's taken a major backseat to Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I say it's Addison over Waddle. This is just like, well, and this is why I want to couple somebody into this conversation here. Addison over Devonta Smith. We sat here like, and I say coming for that was tongue in cheek because he's the Eagles player. But I say we, as in myself included, like people at the beginning of the season are like, oh, would you roster both Hill and Waddle? Would you roster both A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith? Would you roster both T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase? And obviously, Higgins got hurt and Joe Burrow and all that type of stuff. But those same ones, it's like, look at last year. You were fine rostering both. They both finished top 15. All three of those sets all finished top 15. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett both finished top 20. Like, these things, like, it's okay. I don't aim to do it, but I wouldn't skew away from it if it's like, if I said there was a toss-up, let's go back to preseason right now. Jaylen Waddle was in the conversation as of, like, Davante Adams. Like, a lot of people had them back-to-back. If I already had Tyreek Hill, I would take Adams to avoid the team-up. But if the next best wide receiver was, like, George Pickens, I've been like, you know what? I'll take Waddle. That actually looks wrong right now, because the point being is I have Addison as fringe top 20. And apparently nobody wants to move the needle on this one, because I have Jaylen Waddle and Devonta Smith as wide receiver 2/3s. They're in the low 20s, and everybody has them 10 to 12 spots higher.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That whole grouping of like those wide receiver twos, like the AB, Higgins and Waddle and Devonta have been disappointing. I had Devonta in the late teens last week, and I don't know if we can take this with a grain of salt, but he did have a good game against Washington this year, where he was 7 for 78. And then last year when they played in Washington, he had 8 catches, 169 yards, had 2 touchdowns last 3 games against them. But it is the AJ Brown show at the moment. I mean, he just had
really
tied Calvin Johnson, 125 yards in what, 5 straight games. It is just all AJ Brown. The volume is AJ, and I don't know, teams are just not doubling him for some reason.
Devonta,
so maybe it'll turn around, but.
Devonta Smith's right, only two top 20 performances came with a touchdown in weeks 1 and 2. Since then, here's his finishes at wide receiver 3 since then.
Oh,
73,
man,
24, 99, 45 on a 16 bye week, and 44.
I just flipped. I think he's a buy low candidate, but again, you just have to adjust it accordingly. Like, is a wide receiver 3 for you?
Well, then let's change the conversation. Rest of season, because there's still Justin Jefferson might return. He might not return. The timetable was 4 to 6 weeks. Vikings won 2 or more games. So now they're at 3 wins. So maybe there's still a chance they're going to be in the hunt, but there's still maybe the chance by the time he's ready to return, he's not. And Jefferson doesn't play.
Right.
That's not the conversation I want to have. I want to say rest of season right now today, Chris Meany, how would you rank Jordan Addison, Devonta Smith, and Jaylen Waddle?
I still think I'm leaning with the with Waddle and Devontae over Addison. But it is, oh man, it is super close. I don't know Miami's schedule offhand, but I know the Eagles' schedule is really tough, right? I know that they will, after this week, they'll have Dallas, they'll have KC, well, they'll have San Fran, Buffalo, Dallas.
Playoffs.
Those are extremely tough match. The Giants twice, I think.
Here's why I would actually take Addison over Waddle. I wouldn't over Smith, because here's what we got.
I can get
the Eagles, the final 3 weeks, Seattle, Giants, Arizona.
Boom. Yeah.
Love it. On the flip side, Miami has Jets, Buffalo, Cowboys, Ravens.
Wow.
I am selling Tua.
Cowboys, Ravens? Is that as tough as it could get for a wide receiver
by far,
or quarterback?
It's not even close.
Yeah. That is
the next worst matchup is Washington has Rams, Jets, 49ers. Behind them, Jaguars have Baltimore, Buccaneers, Carolina, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Jacksonville, New Orleans. No, it's by far like Jets, Cowboys, Ravens. You do not get any worse than that.
No, that is as tough as it gets. And the question there from Adam, just like, I think, you know, and you brought it up, you alluded to it with Jefferson returns. I think even if Jefferson returns, I think we got to view this guy as a wide receiver three, right? I mean, he's picking up the play. He's such a good player and he's getting separation. He got the separation. There was some busted coverage at the start of the season with JJ there. The volume wasn't significant, but it just goes to show the upside that he has. I mean, when there's one-on-one with him, forget about it, because he's a great route runner and the speed is off the charts. What a nice breakout game from him last week. So JJ, if he's back, still viewing him as a wide receiver three. I like the offense, man. I like KC or Minnesota. I like their offense.
Let's rapid fire through some of these.
Backs.
Josh Downs into must-start territory or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Would you rather have Joshua Palmer or Josh Downs for the rest of the year?
Ah, like both of these guys. I think Downs, because I think he has.
I think he's better.
I think he has a chance to get. Yeah, I think he has a chance. I still view Pittman as the one, but I think he has a chance to be the one. That volume from Minshew is hard to ignore. It's been three game sample size is pretty solid.
All right. Speaking of a three game sample size, first game of the season, and then the last 2 weeks, this wide receiver has been a wide receiver one. Do you know who I'm talking about? First game
first
in the last
game
two
of the
games,
season, and the and last, then the last two. No, I can't think of it now.
His quarterback is Crap Jones.
You're a wide receiver?
Kendrick Bourne.
Oh, Kendrick Bourne.
Is Kendrick Bourne a top 20 wide receiver until it falls apart?
It's the only Patriot I would trust.
It's only those 3 weeks, which obviously you can't say only those 3 weeks, but if it was only those 3 weeks, he's a wide receiver one. In those 3 weeks, he finished 4th, 14th, and 18th in those 3 weeks.
And I think he's got, 15-plus targets over the last 2 weeks, too. Miami is a good matchup. 18. I mean, they've allowed,
those 3 games, targets were 11, 11, and 7.
And look at those 3 games where he went away. Jets, Cowboys, what did we just talk about? You just brought up those teams as tough spots for wide receivers and quarterbacks. And then the Saints in there, Miami this week, Washington to follow. I mean, you can't look ahead too much, but the Chargers and the Steelers seem like okay matchups. I don't know. Like, he should be rostered. He's like a flex guy, or I don't know if anyone could be this hard up this week or.
I think he could be. You just have to understand the floor is zero.
The floor is zero. It definitely looks like the best wide receiver there. And you can throw on Miami. I mean, they're secondary. I know it's getting better. Ramsey's return to practice. Like, they'll be an improved secondary, I think, in the second half. But at the moment,
would you rather play Curtis Samuel or Kendrick Bourne? Curtis Samuel, we never got the report. I'm assuming he just had the poops because he ran through the tunnel and didn't show back up for a while. And nobody said anything. I'm assuming just had bubble guts.
I'll play Kendrick Bourne. I'll play Kendrick Bourne as like New England playing catch up in the second half of the game against Miami.
Would you play Kendrick Bourne or Tyler Lockett, who has let's make something clear for everybody out there. This is who Tyler Lockett has always been. He's been Deshaun Jackson. It's been like underrated, but also understanding that Tyler Lockett, Gabe Davis, Deshaun Jackson, these are who they are. Just accept that. The thing is Tyler Lockett is not that Tyler Lockett anymore. He's only got two good games. He's actually only got two games over 8 points this year. So Tyler Lockett or Kendrick Bourne?
Against Cleveland? I'm probably
Kendrick Bourne?
Yeah, I probably would play. Honestly, it's the I know one it good thing gross, about Cleveland. But...
I'll bring this up because real quickly, I know we're trying to get through this quickly, but what you just saw with Gardner Minshew is that their defense is still ridiculous, but they do give up a lot of big plays, and they've actually forced the highest three and out. But Martin Emerson, their corner, he's actually giving up the most yards per reception with any quarters of 10-plus targets in his direction, 22.6. That's what you saw. That defense is terrific, but it is also exploitable in the right way at the right time. But I think that's actually more DK Metcalf than Tyler Lockett for me in this week.
Yeah, exactly. And it's another thing, too. I think that Tyler Lockett needs DK on the field, right? We talked about that earlier with Pickens and company. I don't think it's automatically can just assume. Like, it's really telling. That was a good matchup against Arizona, and he didn't get a ton of volume. They just ran the ball, and that's what Seattle's doing. That's what they've been doing for years.
Okay. Well, who else we got here? Davante Adams. Is he in the Tyler Lockett conversation, or is he further up the list for you?
He's further up. Just,
okay.
I mean, I feel bad for him.
The volume's ball there.
Hoyer leaned on him, and that's good to see. But man, he threw the ball to him once in like triple coverage. Play, and Adams, like, what the hell is this?
Like, I know this might not be absurd to think about. Would you play Davante Adams or Jordan Addison this week, this specific week? You're hesitating, which is all you need to say. There's your answer. Yeah, you hesitated.
I play Adams.
Okay, Amari Cooper or Curtis Samuel. Or Kendrick Bourne.
I play Murray Cooper and just get a zero and be ticked off about doing it. But I would just take the ceiling in with Amari Cooper. My goodness, I want to see Watson there though.
Wait, is that the ceiling though, or is Kendrick Bourne the ceiling? I mean, arguably Kendrick Bourne is the ceiling here.
Seattle's a good spot. It's a good matchup for wide receivers.
How would you do Garrett Wilson versus Kendrick Bourne? Apparently this episode brought to you by the Bourne Supremacy.
Yeah, there's a lot of Bourne going on here. Jake really likes Kendrick Bourne this week. I think somebody should bet him for a touchdown and the over on receiving yards.
I like them. I'm just throwing them out in the conversation.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I'll take Garrett Wilson. I like how they move him around a little bit. He's getting some catches.
He gets the Giants. Adam Thielen. Yeah. Wide receiver one until it goes sideways. Are you ready for this to go sideways? I'm so scared.
At some point, it has like to.
A pit in my stomach that like
he can't get. I don't know. Maybe he can. Maybe he can get 11 targets, 12 targets every single game and 100 yards. But
all right, the last few before we get out of here. Here we go. Yeah. Adam Thielen or Chris Olave rest of the season.
Adam Thielen.
Chris Olave is being destroyed by that offense, by the way. Also, do you know this? Here's a little factoid for you. Top 10 wide receivers and targets, Chris Olave, the lowest catch percentage, 50-something percent. I remember the exact number. That's how bad it's been. Drake London, who has now officially come through on the Drake London hype, and a lot of people are excited. Drake London or Adam Thielen the rest of the season?
Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen or Devonta Smith?
Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen or T. Higgins?
Adam Thielen. I like T. Higgins as a buy low too. I can't ignore the volume, man. And nobody else is really threatening him. That's the thing.
Adam Thielen or Jordan Addison? Adam Thielen?
Adam Thielen.
It's Adam Thielen, Kendrick Bourne, or Justin Jefferson?
Maybe Justin Jefferson, just for the 4 weeks that maybe I could potentially get him. But playoffs. Yeah, it's the rapport. There's a rapport there. I thought it was maybe just a 1 week thing with Andy Dalton, but it seemed to be, hey, let's just get the ball to Adam Thielen as much as we can. And he looks great, man. And his catch prop, I don't know what, it's probably not out, but it's been 5.5 every single week. And I think you got to go to it until
it's going
to
be like 7.5.
It gets like 7.5, 8.5. Like just go to it at 5.5.
If you need tight ends, Dalton Kincaid and Trey McBride, similar situations, both the lead
McBride's
options.
Trending up.
Yeah, Zach Ertz to the IR, Dawson Knox surgery. They're both Kincaid definitely going forward. I'm just ranking Kincaid as a top 10 tight end. I don't even care if he gets a two. The upside is too good with him. Trey McBride's probably going to be in the high end tight end too. I'd start McBride over David Njoku at this point. So that's we'll throw those out for people that might need tight end help. If you need more help, including hockey is back. So is the freaking NBA already. God, that means we have it for the next 15 months. The NBA, at Chris Meany over at FTN, code all in, get you 20% off. More hockey. We need more hockey. basketball, just wait another month. Go away, dude. Like, seriously, I got tired for this.
Last night was fun. 16 games in the NHL. It was crazy last night. Every team playing. Wild.
Oh,
they
really?
did a frenzy, which was like they did their own red zone version last night. It was
nice.
It was kind of cool. It was different, but it was nice.
Could you imagine trying to watch a quad box of hockey games?
they showed every goal. Like, good for them. Like, they went to every goal. 100
extra eyes. There's no way to do it. Yeah. Enjoy your weekend if it is Halloween parties or whatever it is. But good luck in week 8. We'll be back on Monday. Lauren and I both have masks for that show. Kind of a whole. Oh, Meanie, before you get out of here, your number one Halloween candy. That is my special ranks this week because we do it every single week.
Oh, man. I'm a big Reese's Pieces guy. Like, anything Reese's.
That's number
Pieces.
Two. If you don't say Nerds Gummy Clusters being number one.
So that's new. Like, that's new, right?
It's when been I was around a kid, for like 3 years now. Actually, I'm so annoyed by this because. Maybe
when
4 or 5.
I didn't
I don't
get
know.
Any of that stuff. So
I was camp. Like, I was telling everybody, like, Paul Spohr, baseball dude, great baseball dude, by the way. Yeah, like, for years, I was like, as soon as that stuff came out, I was like, Nerd Gummy Clusters, Nerd Gummy Clusters, Nerd Gummy. Everybody needs to try it. It's the best thing in the history of forever. And then, freaking, I think it was Mina Kimes or something, was like, oh, Nerd Gummy Clusters. I don't think you've ever heard of these. And everybody went bananas. Like, shut up, Mina Kimes. I called Nerds Gummy Clusters are Jake Seeley's stamp of approval. First and foremost, we have a berry version.
Good ranking. These are good rankings. I'm a big Twix guy. I love Twix.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. So I missed them. They had Twix churros, which I'm probably assuming the taste kind of gets just mixed out because it's already Twix. You know, like some of those ones that the flavor's just glossed over.
Yeah.
But they had them briefly, and that was it. They were brief and gone. So I bought some off Amazon. They're probably going to be half stale, but I'm so curious to see what they taste like. Twix probably used to be my Twix changed their flavor. Something happened in the last 2 or 3 years, and something changed. I like
George Costanza on the case.
Good callback. Reese's pumpkins. Yes, all the holiday shapes are the best things ever. They are the clear number two. There's a big. It's gummy clusters and Reese's holiday shapes, and then everything else. Like, we can start talking about everything else.
And
do I have
and
something
then,
too low?
No. No, I don't think so. I was going to make a Kendrick Bourne.
Three Musketeers. I never Kendrick expected Bourne. A Three Musketeers from somebody. Those are so
Laffy Taffy. $100,000. That's a.
I keep moving Laffy Taffy US further down thing. Because they're the right. Fix the damn wrappers. How are they so hard to get? You need like a freaking tweezers and chiseling tool to get the damn wrappers off the things.
You can't be like when you're hungry, you want the candy bar. You can't be messing around for 5 minutes with the wrapper. There's no need of it.
You know what the test?
$100,000 is new to me. That's we don't have that here. $100,000.
You don't have $100,000 up there. You probably have something similar to it. $100,000 has been around forever.
I know. I think
you know.
Really
I'm pretty
once.
Sure. Like, to get your degree in archaeology, they give you a wrapper, and see if you can actually get it off the Laffy Taffy without destroying the Laffy Taffy. And if so. You get your degree and you get to go to Egypt. So there you go.
Have you ever had a coffee? Have you ever had coffee crisp? That's a
coffee.
Thing.
As soon as you said coffee, no, I'm out. I hate the coffee flavor. Hate it.
I think your guy DVR on The Athletic. I think he's a big coffee crisp guy. I something about it. I think he told one time when we first met talking about Canada. He's like, oh yeah, you guys got coffee crisp. I think he's just like big coffee crisp guy. It's a popular. It's like when you go, we got candy for the kids too, and you go to get kits or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
you're
always in all the packages.
What's the one that's different up there? Is your Smarties are not the same Smarties as ours.
Oh no, yeah, Smarties.
Yeah, we have terrible
thing.
Smarties. Apparently, Canadian Smarties are completely different and actually half decent.
Yeah. D loves them. They'd be up here like 2 or 3.
Worst candy Smarties. Ever is those Nico wafers. I don't even know what they are, but. If you enjoy eating chalk off the street, go get yourself some Nico waivers. We'll be back on Monday. So as we spent the last few minutes of that. Love you guys. I'm hungry now. See ya.
Get some candy now.